And then I do what's called recycling that equity. So once I'd sort of got to 100 or 80 grand of extra equity, I'd refinance my property, pull that money into a line of credit, and that would form the 20% deposit to go into another property.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we'll continue the conversation with Property Buyers Managing Director, Rich Harvey, who will discuss the foundations of his strategy and his advice on sharing the risk of your investment. Find out how you can recycle equity to build your portfolio faster and the seven steps to take towards generating wealth. Also, before we delve into this episode, go over to propertyinvestory.com and subscribe to receive your free property investor case studies, where you'll learn how to generate passive income from your properties. Go there now to sign up for free. So, what held Harvey back from investing in property initially?
Absolutely. A great question. I'm pleased you've asked it. So look, for me, I think I mentioned in the previous podcast, I was an economist in my past life, and that's good and bad. It's good that it helps you crunch numbers very well, but it's bad that you get this disease called paralysis of analysis. And and sometimes that you sometimes let perfect get in the way of a good thing. And I think a lot of investors fall into this trap. We also see it with some of our clients, particularly very analytical clients like accountants or financial people that love to model everything. And look, the real world is not perfect. So I was really fearful, I guess, of debt. That was the other thing. When we got our property subdivided, as I mentioned before, we then managed to pay off the loan on the rear house almost down. I think we had like 50 grand left to pay off. And I was thinking, wow, isn't it great? We can almost be debt-free. But you've got to understand the difference between good debt and bad debt, or deductible debt and non-deductible debt. So I think for a lot of people, they don't understand that distinction. So obviously, investment in property, as long as it's a good quality property, is good debt. And you could leverage that debt into more property and grow your wealth. And I think a lot of people get scared of interest rates jacking up. You know, they hear about stories back in the early 90s when interest rates hit 7-8%. And they think, oh, what if that happens again? Well, it won't happen. You know, interest rates, yes, they will go up, but they won't go up to the same magnitude or the same degree as they did. So for me, it was getting over a fear of debt, and it was getting through too much analysis from making a decision on something.
He says for him to overcome his analysis paralysis earlier, he ensured he educated himself thoroughly.
I read a lot of books. I went to a lot of seminars. I used to meet with a couple of other guys. Like I used to meet with a couple of guys probably every once a month, and we'd talk about invest, a bit like a book club, if you like. It was our investment club. And we'd sort of compare notes or compare ideas and share resources. And that really helped me to kind of get a different perspective. I think often in life, if we don't have anyone to bounce up against, you can, you know, you're making decisions in a vacuum. But that's why I always recommend getting good advice, not just from friends, but from serious licensed professionals is really important. But having that group really helped me to expand my mindset and step out of my comfort zone to start really investing in property very well.
Even though Harvey didn't have any specific mentors in particular, he acknowledges that he was able to learn a lot through other business leaders.
I used to go and sort of like you're doing now, is interview other business leaders. And I can't remember all their names at the time. This is probably 20 years ago. But I had a specific set of questions, and you know, it could be just a one or two line thing that was like, you know what, that's a really good philosophy. I'm going to adopt that. So some of the best advice that I've received is just manage your money well. If you look after, you know, your money well and you invest in property, property is a bit like a baby. You have to nurture it in the early years particularly. And sometimes you might buy a property that doesn't provide a positive cash flow, but you want to get it to that positive cash flow position as quickly as you can, so it doesn't become a burden to hold that property and it becomes self-sufficient, self-sustaining. So I think the best advice I've received is manage your money well, be prepared, and keep moving forward.
Harvey clearly knows his way around managing money and learning to transform properties into positive cash flow. The best kind of properties are always the ones that provide independent, passive income. But how exactly do you take that knowledge and apply it to real-world properties?
I mean, the first strategy for me was to build capital growth. I think, as I said, there's no one-size-fits-all. So for me, when I first started investing, I was still paying a fair bit of tax. So I was able to use the negative gearing strategy for a period of time. That worked really well. And I was able to buy a number of properties, in high-growth areas. So unfortunately, the rent didn't quite cover the mortgage repayments and all the costs of holding the property. So I went down the negative gearing route for a while. But once you sort of get, three or four or five properties doing that method, then you've got to realize, gosh, a lot of investors come to a screaming halt and they realize, I can't, the banks don't have any serviceability and, just everything stops. And that actually often stops investors at just one or two properties. So one of the strategies I've got is to surround myself with really good, a really good team. So I had a really savvy mortgage broker who didn't take no for an answer from a bank. I think a lot of people give up when they go to a lender and the bank says, no, we're not going to lend you anymore. They go, oh, well, throw your hands up, walk away. Well, that's not me. I say to my broker, go and find another lender who's willing to lend me money. Mm. I'm earning a good income. I'm a safe risk. So I would go and find, if the banks wouldn't lend me, I would find a second tier or a non-bank lender. And that was the way I was able to grow my portfolio. So the other thing was you've got to have a really good accountant, and they also help you with your strategy, also particularly working out the way you structure your portfolio. A lot of people discuss whether they should put the property in their personal name or a company name or a trust name. And again, that's a very individual thing that you have to get advice on. So again, not a one-size-fits-all. So make sure you get good advice around that. So I had the broker, the accountant, and the tax advisor. But in terms of the specific properties, I went for originally capital cities because I wanted to buy in areas where there were jobs. But then I expanded my horizons to look at regional areas. And there's plenty of regional areas around Australia that you can buy in. They don't all perform to the same degree. And you've got to be very, very careful in the next 10 years to exactly look at where you'd put your money. So obviously, avoid mining towns that are just, pitted on one or two industries. You've got to go into areas that have a number of employees in the town, a number of industries that support the local economy. So my strategy was to build up some equity, and then I do what's called recycling that equity. So once I'd sort of got to 100 or 80 grand of extra equity, I'd refinance my property, pull that money into a line of credit, and that would form the 20% deposit to go into another property. Sometimes I would even do a 90% loan. I would use what's called lender's mortgage insurance. And by that means you only need 10% for your next deposit. And that enabled me to get two properties instead of one. So again, it depends on your age and stage as to when you would do that. But again, just be careful and make sure you're borrowing at a safe rate. But that's a smart strategy to pay the lender's mortgage insurance to enable you to get more properties in your portfolio.
Yeah, so it really it's all about being able to leverage, and especially, as you said, once you build up to equity between 80 to 100, draw it out and put that into line of credit and then put it down as a deposit, that helps you to leapfrog to the next property so you don't have to actually save that 80 to 100,000, which, will take a very, very long time to try and save that. But as soon as you pull that equity out and you buy another property, essentially, wouldn't you be borrowing, say, about 100% because you've kind of pretty much got, say,
100%? Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're absolutely borrowing 100%, Tyrone, and you hit the nail on the head. But as long as, that's why the cash flow or the rent return you're going to get from the property is critical in your next step. So you must buy in an area that has very consistent and high rent demand. A lot of people who borrow 100%, they think, oh, yeah, I can just borrow 100%. But then if they run into a vacancy issue, that's when they could become unstuck and have to dip into their savings or, worst possible, have to sell the property under stress. So just be careful that you can manage your cash flow. And one of the things you've got to do is have a buffer in place. So if you do have a vacancy for a month or more, you can cover it. If a hot water system blows up or an air conditioner goes, you'd be able to replace it without any stress. That's really important.
Harvey not only invested in buying property and holding onto them, he also did some joint ventures in small property development projects.
Yeah, I think you've got to learn to walk before you run. That's a really important thing. Once I've developed quite an expertise in buying properties, then that's the point at which you can consider doing some small developments. And again, don't try and do it all on your own. I look at doing joint ventures with other partners who are even more experienced than me in the development field. But I just like to do small, discrete things like duplexes and dual living properties. If you try to get ahead of yourself and do a 15 townhouse subdivision and you've never done one before, you could be easily come unstuck. So it was really when I had enough equity safely to risk some equity into a property that, even if I lost it, it wasn't going to devastate me. That's when I'm happy to do that sort of developing and just take small steps. Like I say, don't try and do it on your own. Do it with someone. Do a joint venture with someone that's got land and look for those opportunities, because that's the way you can manufacture equity at a much faster rate. And I think the next 10 years, as going forward, I think that's going to be one of the best ways to make money out of property. I think you'll see a lot of the investors' success stories in the magazines talk about people that have created value through buying a block of land, carving it up and doing small developments rather than just, the straight out buy and hold.
Coming up after the break, Harvey will reveal his reasons why he invests interstate.
For a couple of reasons. First reason is that you are taking advantage of different property cycles. So every capital city is at a different stage of the property cycle.
We'll also discuss how he minimizes risk by collaborating with others.
Don't try and do it all on your own. I look at doing joint ventures with other partners who are even more experienced than me in the development field.
And the abundance of resources that Harvey recommends for everything from learning to invest in property to learning about sales or even learning about yourself.
John McGrath, he's written a lot of really good motivational books about real estate. Alan Pease, he talks a lot about body language and that sort of thing.
Harvey reveals the reasons why he invests in different capital cities across Australia.
I've invested in Melbourne and Brisbane. And other parts of South East Queensland. I think it's great to invest in those areas. So for a couple of reasons. First reason is that you are taking advantage of different property cycles. So every capital city is at a different stage of the property cycle. It might be on the growth phase, it might be in the downswing phase. So you can take advantage of those cycles and not have all your properties at the same stage of the cycle. So because when it comes time, eventually, you're going to need to realise and sell, realise the equity and sell those properties. So if you can sell a property that's at the peak of the market, that's a great time to be selling. Another thing, the reason I buy in other capital cities is diversification for tax purposes. Your land tax threshold is different in every state. In Queensland, it's 600,000. In New South Wales, I think it's 472. And in Melbourne, it's around a similar number. So As you accumulate more properties, you're going to end up with a land tax issue. And if you can minimise that by buying in other states, that's another good reason to look at buying in other areas.
With many properties under his belt, Harvey's diverse experience allows him to spread his risk and plan for retirement to buy properties in his super fund.
Yeah, I've set up my own self-managed super fund. And it takes, obviously there's very strict rules around what you can and can't do with that. But I use a financial advisor to help me create a strategy for that, and I'm looking to add another property to that super fund very soon, actually. So probably in the next 12-18 months, I'll add another one to my self-managed super fund. So it's important to, I have other assets in my self-managed super fund too. I think it's important to have different asset classes. Again, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. And another plug for financial planners, get a good one. Yes. They'll help you on your journey and realize that it's not the number of properties you have, it's the value, it's the overall value and the equity and the quality of those properties that will determine your comfortable retirement.
What sets Harvey apart from the rest of the crowd is his focus and daily habits that allows him to achieve his goals. He shares a few insights.
Classic one is eat well and exercise. I go to the gym 3 times a week. I play tennis. I go water skiing. I try to do things to keep my mind active. Your health is everything. You've got to value your health above your wealth, because if your mindset's right, then everything else can flow. So I make sure I watch my diet, watch what I eat, and make sure I keep exercising. That certainly helps me. I place a lot of value on my family. They're everything to me. So I think it's really important to create a legacy in your life. I think I wrote an article the other day, something about people won't remember, you know, how much money you had or how many properties you had, but they'll remember how you made them feel. And they'll remember your legacy more than your bank account. So, you know, that's an important goal, to realize, what's it all for? Is it just to get, you know, $3 million in my account, or is it because I really want to, you know, leave a legacy and help people? So, you know, I think it's really important to make sure, you know, for your listeners, when they're setting goals, to set some really strong personal goals around that. Other things I do for success, I read a lot of books. As I said, I'm a big reader. I'm a big fan of, you know, like you're doing, Tyrone, is talk to people that have been successful and get their tips. You know, manage your money well, keep learning, always have an attitude of learning and an attitude of gratitude. I think one thing I learned at university was how to learn. Something I didn't know or didn't understand, I would get resources and learn it. And that really empowers you, because it's just, you know, such a great ability with the internet and networking these days to get the answers to the question you have. So that's what I continue to do today.
And what are some of the resources Harvey recommends?
The basic ones, Jan Summers series. I think it's called Building Wealth Through Property. It is a great one.
Love that.
She's written about four or five books. I really like Margaret Lomas's book. She's really straightforward, communicator, really excellent. John McGrath, he's written a lot of really good motivational books about real estate. Alan Pease, he talks a lot about body language and that sort of thing. What else is there? Another guy, if you're looking at for sales techniques, you know, Brian Tracy, he's really good. Michael Gerber, the E-Myth, and that sort of thing. He's really good about for growing up, growing your business. Your good old Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad Poor Dad for mindset.
Are you looking for help or want someone to do the legwork to buy investment properties? Harvey explains how his service can help.
I started my business back in 2001 with a goal to helping people achieve their property dreams, whether that's a home or investment property. And I saw that there's a real need to represent the buyer. They'd sort of been the forgotten party in the transaction. You've got real estate agents representing the vendor, but there was no one representing the buyer. So what we do is we help our buyers create what's called a buyer's brief. There's really seven steps. We create a buyer's brief and develop their strategy. That's the first thing we do. We then give research on the areas that we recommend to buy in, and that really fast tracks a lot of our investors' knowledge. And we give references and examples of properties they can buy for their budget. Then the third step we do, Tyrone, is to shortlist properties. Over 16 years, we've built up a very, very extensive agent database, so we can send out buyer requests to all of our network and uncover properties that are listed on the market, as well as off-market opportunities for our clients. Next thing we do, once we've found a bunch of properties that fit the brief or fit the criteria, and by the way, we reject a lot of those properties, a bit like that John West ad, you know, the fish they reject. So we chuck a lot of the tiddlers back that don't meet the criteria. So we take the clients out and we look at the properties. We get some feedback from them. If there's a property there that we believe fits the criteria and the client's happy to proceed on, then the fourth thing we do is a detailed appraisal report. And we give them an estimate of what the property is currently worth in today's market. We look at comparable sales and we look at the market stats to come up with a number for the client on that property. Next step, we then start the due diligence and the negotiation phase. They're really steps five and six go hand in hand. So due diligence means that with a pest and a building inspection, the solicitor does any title searches and we find out any more about the history of the property. Then we work out an offer strategy. We negotiate with the agent if it's a private treaty, or if it's an auction, we'll try and buy prior, or if they can't buy prior, then we'll attend the auction on the client's behalf and buy the property at auction up to an agreed limit. And then once we've exchanged the contracts on the property, the last step we do is to find a local property manager and appoint that manager to look after that client's property. Collect the rent and conduct the regular inspections on the property. So it's really an end-to-end service that we offer for our clients. And the average time it takes is around about 30 to 60 days. Sometimes it's quicker than that. Sometimes it's a little bit longer. It just depends on the volume of stock that's on the market. But we certainly don't have any pressure tactics. We're all about collaborating and working in partnership with our clients to help them achieve their property goals.
So where can you connect with Harvey?
The best way is through our website, which is propertybuyer.com.au, or they can give us a call anytime on our 1300 number. It's just 1300 655 615. On the website, we have all the email addresses and the team there, so very happy to chat with anyone anytime and love to help them.
It is always such a pleasure to speak with property investors who are genuinely passionate about what they do. Property investing isn't always a simple vehicle to a person's goals. The hunt for the perfect deal, the desire to improve your skills, or the fun of working with others all spur true property investors to greater heights. Now, if you want to hear about Rich Harvey's journey on how he lost almost all of his investment properties in one fell swoop, simply picked himself up and started all over again, then visit our website at propertyinvestory.com. Simply type in the search bar Rich Harvey and select that episode to listen and learn more about his story. You can also get the full transcript and show notes on our website.